Welcome to the Elijah Streams podcast. Our mission is to encourage you in your faith through a unique blend of patriotism and prophecy. And now, here's your host, Steve Schultz.
Well, good morning and happy Friday, the 30th of January. All right, so we're going to bring in Robbie Dawkins here in just a few moments. We're going to talk about Iran and what's going on the ground and talk about Robbie Dawkins and his ministry to both places like Iran and Afghanistan and things like that. He really, truly is one of the heroes of the faith that has been willing to risk his life to go into these dangerous areas. So we'll squeeze as much information out of him as we can. We can't show you current photos where this is happening and where someone is on camera in Iran talking about the brutality that's going on, because the moment we put them on camera, their life is in 100% danger. I mean, death danger, if they were to be seen. So, we're going to ask him even about some rumors about planes taking off and landing from Iran to Russia and things like that. I'll let Robbie share any details on that. So before we bring him in, let's go ahead and run a quick spot about Israel. The Israel tour, March 12th is the last date to get in on this trip. And then we're going to run you a quick spot on the wells that you're helping us dig. So here we go with that.
Join us for an unforgettable journey to the Holy Land, the 2026 Israel tour with Elijah Streams. Experience powerful worship with Robin Bullock and the 11th Hour Band, and be inspired by Steve and Doreen Schultz, Yvonne and Mina Atia, Mike and Lori Sally, and Michael Wilhelm. Steve Swanson will be leading us in music as we walk where Jesus walked, worship at historic sites, and connect deeply with the land and its people. This is more than a tour. It's a spiritual encounter. Spots are limited, so register now at ElijahStreams.com/Israel26.
In Uganda, families rise with the sun, facing the challenges of daily life. For many, the simple act of accessing water is a struggle. Children spend hours each day walking miles to fetch water from unsafe sources. They didn't have any other options until you stepped in. Because of your support, over 100,000 people now have access to clean, safe water in Uganda. Their mornings are now filled with peace and joy. No more long walks to fetch water. All thanks to you. Together, we can continue to bring clean water to those in need. Donate online at ElijahStreams.com/donate. Or mail a check today to Elijah Streams, 525 2nd Avenue Southwest, Suite 629, Albany, Oregon, 97321.
Those are really, truly the conditions on the ground in Uganda, even to the point where you'll notice, of course, the houses, it's the mud brick, whatever that's called, homes. Almost all the homes out in the, for lack of a better word, the bush. Away from, there are some cities in Uganda that we fly in, the air, commercial airlines flying, and it doesn't look like that. But where the people live out in the outskirts all over Uganda, it does look like that. And so when somebody's trying to dip water in, you'll see dirty hands dipping dirty water into a dirty jerry can, they're called, those yellow jerry cans. And they don't have time to consider whether their hands are clean or the water is clean. They get what they get and they use what they use, and they get those cans filled out and they put them on sideways, and it just sucks the water in as you would suck something in a bottle or a big squirt gun or something like that. You just let the water come in, whatever it is. So it's a totally different mindset to survive. They're not overly concerned. Now, that's why their joy is complete when they see crystal clear running cool water coming out of those pumps. You're saving lives, and those grateful people by huge numbers come to the Lord and thanking Him. So many of those will come up to you when the Lord points you out to them, and they'll say, you sent water in when I was very sick into Uganda in those years, whatever, maybe they'll say the year, and they'll thank you because the Lord will show you to them, and they want to thank you for that. So I'm thanking you right now for that ongoing support. We're releasing one fresh new well every single day, so 365 days a year. And the way that works is we might have five or six wells going at a time, and on the average, one is finished every single day. So that's 30 wells a month, 31, whatever that number is. So All right. Thank you so much. Time to bring on Robbie Dawkins. We're going to talk about Iran, Afghanistan, and some of those. Here we go with that. Here's Robbie. Robbie, so good to see you. We've had you on a couple times. It's been several years, so we couldn't quite pinpoint it, you or I, but you're doing this stuff. Is Iran and Afghanistan the main two places you work, or what? Tell me where you're.
Up until August of 21, I was very active in Afghanistan and was very going there sometimes multiple times a year. And in January of 21, I was arrested and held and tortured and things like that. I was 3 days later, I was finally released. My children and a friend here petitioned the government, called the embassy in Kabul, asking for the U.S. embassy to get involved. And so by the grace of God, you know, they did and were able to get me out. It was the most terrible thing I've been through in my life. But at the same time, you know, Steve, let me just say this. It was also the time where the Lord was the closest.
Really? Wow.
Yes, yes, yes. I've heard the underground church say this over and over, that in the time of persecution, in the time of the darkest hour, the presence of God is the closest. And I can tell you that is true. That is so true. And just the faithfulness of the Lord in that time was just, you know, just pulled me through. But I was there. I was training people, taking them out in the streets and showing them how to share the gospel, wearing my Jesus is God shirt out there.
Out in the open, huh? Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, just praying for the sick, seeing them healed, giving words of knowledge, prophetic words, dreams. The Lord was showing me dreams of things. And, you know, the night before, and then seeing, you know, the people the next day and going, that's who I got to pray for. And so, yeah, just really powerful stuff. And then, you know, they arrested me at the airport as I was leaving. But
what are the charges? Can I ask that? What do they arrest you based on? What kind of a charge? What do they do?
Well, it's funny because they opened my suitcase and they said that they were looking for artifacts, for historic artifacts that they had believed I had stolen. And of course, they learned this from the KGB. You know, when the Russians were there, they learned all these tactics. They lie. And so, you know, I was like, I don't have any artifacts. I don't have anything at all that's, you know, that falls into that category. And then they were like, well, we got to take you back for questioning. I was pretty anxious because my flight was going to be leaving soon. And as they were taking me back, you know, the guy who was, he had zip tied my hands and he... rifle and slammed my the butt of his rifle against my hand against the wall, and then when they did that, they grabbed me and ran this shoulder into the corner door jam, and I turned and I looked and I was like, I don't think this is about artifacts, and they were like, it never was. And so they took me back. They wanted names. They wanted addresses. They wanted, and one of the things I do when I'm in these parts of the world, when I'm in Iran or in Afghanistan or in any of the Muslim countries that are more at risk countries, you know, if I'm in Jordan or Lebanon, or, you know, when I went to Hezbollah, I met with Hezbollah at Hezbollah headquarters. I wanted to pray for them and prophesy to them, but they, you know, they wouldn't do anything more than have a dialogue, a conversation. You know, whenever I go there, I always tell people, whoever I'm going with, I don't want their whole name, just their first name. I don't want that in my head. I don't want that to be information that the secret police can get out. I don't want an address or a location. I don't even want to know what part of the city I'm in when we go. So when we go to these houses and train these underground churches, I'm like, you know, I don't want to know the particulars of where I'm at because I don't want that to be information that can be gotten out of me. And so, which is really important. And, you know, I've had some really well-trained U.S. forces who helped me with that information and understanding that and things to do to prepare for that type of stuff. So anyway, but yeah, they wanted names, they wanted addresses, you know, and of course I only had first names, Muhammad, Ali, yeah. You know, Jaid, you know, all these different Muslim names that everybody there has to have. And so, and turned out they had pictures, they had video. I had no idea that they were videoing and taking pictures and things like that.
So they've been scoping you out for a while and just waiting for this moment to arrest you.
Yeah, it really was that. And so it was one of those things that, you know, and then I found out they had footage that I had been arrested three different times in Afghanistan, one time in Russia, but I didn't know, in none of the other times had they ever produced footage or video. And so I wasn't aware that they had any of that or that they had even that ability. And so with one of the times I knew they were probably watching the flight manifest, because as soon as I landed, I mean, they got me, you know, pulling out of the airport, not me driving, but being with a local. And they arrested me there. And so and people have been warning me, they've been telling me, they're like, you know, we think here in the West that they're so backward in Afghanistan and Iran, but their technology is not. They're pretty advanced. And so, they really are technologically advanced. And they watch the flight manifests. So,
yeah. Now, how long were you, you said, and I didn't care, how many days were you arrested and tortured?
For 3 days. So it was...
I remember when you were on, we were talking about I just can't quite remember the time factor where you were hoping to try and get people out, or you had gotten people out. I'm not sure if you remember, but what tell us where that ended up.
September of 2021. That would have been around that time, because as soon as the collapse of Kabul took place, as soon as the Taliban took over Kabul, that meant they had control of the entire nation. And so we were desperately trying to, you know, get funds to get people out of the country, because they were at the very top of their hit list. And so it was quite the scramble. And by the grace of God, you know, to report to everybody, many of the people at Elijah Streams helped with that, and thank you. But there was,
I don't remember raising money for that, but I didn't remember this far away whether it was before, during, or after.
Over 515 people we were able to get out of the country. Wow. And also not just that, Steve, but provide for them food, housing, their families, take care of them for many months until they acclimated into the countries we got them to. We got them in neighboring countries. But no, we're very, very grateful for that. And of course, they are the most grateful, you know, for that help. And so we're still doing some. It's really interesting, because with what's happening in Iran right now, the Iranians are not wanting out.
They don't want out. Tell me, explain that.
They want to stay. They want to overthrow this demonic principality of Persia regime that has held them in captivity for 47 years. Not one of them has asked me, can you help me get out of the country? Not one.
That is stunning, Robbie. I had no idea. I would have thought you'd be overbooked with requests for that. Let me take this moment. We'll go back and forth on this, but one of you guys got me a statement by Trump that came out yesterday about that. Let's talk about what he just released yesterday. So pull that up. Oh, that's small. You showed it to me larger before. Can you make that larger at all or no? That's probably going to be a no. Let's see. Okay. So Trump has released this yesterday. A massive armada is heading to Iran. It is moving quickly with great power, enthusiasm, and purpose. It is a larger fleet headed by the great aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln than that sent to Venezuela. So it's a larger fleet than what he sent to Venezuela. Like with Venezuela, it is ready, willing, and able to rapidly fulfill its mission with speed and violence if necessary. Hopefully, Iran will quickly come to the table and negotiate a fair and equitable deal. No nuclear weapons. One that is good for all parties. Time is running out. It is truly of the essence. As I told Iran once before, make a deal. They didn't, and there was Operation Midnight Hammer, a major destruction of Iran. The next attack will be far worse. Don't make that happen again. Thank you for when he says, thank you for the attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. You know, when he says that, he means business. He sounds friendly. He doesn't mean that as friendly. Okay, bring it back to us, guys. tell people, let's jump to this part and then we'll go back and forth on this, but what is it that's rumored to have happened as far as planes going? Is that something you can share?
You mean currently as far as this, as far as what he's referencing as an armada?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, but unless you also meant planes flying to Russia or something in gold.
Currently, just a matter of a little bit ago, when we're recording this, there was a actual flight where they believe they're like Iran's equivalent. When I say Iran, I mean the IRGC, the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Iranians are always saying, "Don't call us the IRGC because we're not. We're Iran. They are the Islamic Republic." But what is happening right now is they just flew what's the equivalent of Secretary of State to Moscow. Let me back up and say we're not quite sure who is on that plane.
Yeah, but good or bad, maybe. Huh?
Significant leader on that plane. It would not be, I'm quite sure, the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini, the Ayatollah, the supreme leader. It would not be him, but what it would be is that it would be like his equivalent of Secretary of State or somebody like that. And if they're going to Moscow, they're looking for a exit. And that would be, again, I don't have hard information of that. It's just based on what we've seen.
Well, and I think we are looking for that sort of thing. And how does that come? I'm not asking for names of sources unless Trump released it, but It's probably believable. I think you might call it a believable rumor that this has happened and money's been taken out of Iran or something like that. Or
it have information from people. It is a secondhand information, yeah, but connected, yeah, to somebody directly into the cabinet who said that they had information. Several other sources have confirmed it. That they transferred $3.2 billion out of Iran into a neighboring country. And then there was also about a week ago, one of the IRGC's major leader's daughter risked her life putting out a video telling that they had all received, she wouldn't say her name and was being advised to do that, but said, but gave enough information on the video to make it realize that she was a significant leader's daughter, but they had all been issued fake passports to multiple different nations. So they're staging. Now, let me just say, Steve, the Iranians they're not excited about that. As much as they would love to get rid of these people, they want them to stay there for war crimes. They want a Nuremberg trial situation. They want them to be put on trial. Because the numbers that we are being fed in our media, of course, no surprise here, right? You guys know this, anybody. The fake news is saying that it's like, you know, like 12,000 or 15 or at tops 20,000 people. I'm hearing numbers from Iran that exceed over 40,000 people have been murdered. Many Christians have been killed. Many of the Christians are going out to the streets for the purpose of having the people in the streets to share the gospel and to evangelize, but being present in support of the revolution to overthrow the Islamic Republic. And let me just tell you, even Muslims in Iran hate Islam right now.
Really?
Steve, the mosques are empty. They've destroyed over 50,000 mosques. I mean, this is from an underground church leader that I talked to just yesterday, that they have destroyed 50,000 mosques. Now, you have to think in Iran terms. This is like little churches here in the United States that would be all over the place, but they've destroyed them, burned them, you know, because these mosques were actually staging centers for terrorism. And so they were using the mosques for staging of terrorism and things like that, but the mosques have been empty for years.
Okay, when you say they destroyed them, the clarify who. Iranians, the people of Iran, have one at a time destroyed mosques. Yes. Oh, no wonder it's on. This is on. And for a couple of years, this has been on like this?
Yeah, like, it's something that's been happening for a long time. And what the part of it now, most of that, let me just say, most of that destruction has happened over the past month. You know, this started just about a month ago when the people started going out on the streets. I was starting to get messages from underground leaders saying, hey, we're hearing sounds in our streets, and we're going out and people are waving the old Iranian flag that was the Shah's flag.
Yeah.
That's the lion with the sword in its hand and the sun coming up and shouting out. Now, let me tell you, listen, Steve, how prophetic this is.
Yeah.
They shout out Javed Shah, which for many people, they interpret wrongly in English, long live the king. But what Javed Shah means is our eternal king.
Thanks for listening. The Elijah Streams podcast is made possible by donations like yours. To become a partner, go to ElijahStreams.com/give.
Now, how prophetic.
Now, by that, they mean eternal God. Are you talking about?
We're talking about the eternal king. It is a statement that is calling for it. Now, we're not sure that can be mixed. That can be mixed interpretations from the standpoint of calling for the former Shah and his family. But many of the Christians are seeing this as a prophetic statement. The eternal king, of course, is one and only Jesus Christ.
Well, right. So, okay, about the time I got married 47 years ago, 1978, was when the embassy was taken over. Americans were made hostage. Ronald Reagan was not quite yet president. It was Jimmy Carter. And they were kept hostage for about 2 years. It was the same story every day, every night on the news. And this happened around the time, I guess it was a simultaneous event where the Shah of Iran was overthrown at that time. That what you mentioned, the Shah of Iran, that was the former king. So you're trying to explain, and I think I'm getting it. They may be shouting for the eternal king to come, which to them may mean the Shah or the Shah's son now.
But
you're saying that even those words are saying it's time to bring back the eternal king.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ, which is very cool. So again, can you give a picture of, is this then a Christian led moment or as far as those who are in the streets, or is it really Iranians and along with Christian Iranians?
I would say it's both. It's both people. The population, to the best of the ability, you have to realize most of the people that are still claiming Islam as a religion in Iran, listen to this, is less than 30%.
Wow.
Less than 30%. In 2018, I had numbers on Iran that were registering as much as 10% of Iran was Christian. So now we're looking at here, good grief, you know, 8 years later, 8-9 years later, the speculation is that the multiplication has happened, that I personally believe it's possible, very likely, very possible, that Christianity has surpassed Islam in Iran.
Wow, so it's speculation, but there's no way to know, you're saying, but wow.
There's no way to know firm numbers, but the numbers have increased so strong and are so, they've grown, it's the fastest growing church in the entire world, nation church in the entire world, national church.
I've heard rumors, and I posted a few on my X before, last week or so, or two, that they're, that Iranians, the people of Iran, there were video clips where they were calling and calling for the USA and Israel to attack their country to overthrow this regime. Is that how you understand it?
I received a text message a while back where somebody had sent me from the underground church from the southern part of Iran, where they were praying that Israel and the United States, and the United States would attack Iran in order to overthrow the regime. I can tell you this, I every Christian I know in the country and every Iranian I know out of the country has been praying that same prayer, that Israel or the United States would come and attack. Steve, well, they're renaming streets.
Already? Are they really?
Streets, Trump Street in Farsi. I mean, people are they're ready to see this thing collapse and fall. And the majority of the population, of course, no, it's illegal. I live here in Texas. You know, everybody has guns here. In that country, it's completely illegal to do that. You can't even have a what would be the equivalent of a pocket knife, you know, in Iran. And so nobody. So these are people that were without weapons. So all of these people that have been killed by the IRGC, by the Islamic Republic, have been being mowed down without any weapons at all.
In other words, there's no cause. Well, I was going to ask you this too.
Genocide.
Are protesters themselves, if apprehended, are they supposedly under the penalty of death, or do they have to purportedly do something worse than just protest in the streets in order to get death? What are these people doing that up to 45,000 may have been murdered?
They're just present in the streets. So right now, underground church leaders, I'm hearing from multiple underground church leaders, we can't gather because our people can't come when they leave to go to the house church. And all of these are house churches, right? The Armenian church is the only established church in Iran that's permitted to meet, that is not a house church. So everybody who's coming in are house churches, and they are completely, if they are seen in the streets at after dark, they will be shot and killed. And already Iran has transported in many thousands of Iraqi soldiers as mercenaries. So these are Arab soldiers, and the Iraqis hate the Iranians. So Iraqis are happy to kill Iranians, happy to, because of the Iraq-Iran war that took place in the mid-80s after the hostages came home in 1980. They went into a war with Iraq, and so they're happy to kill them. They're also putting in mercenaries from Pakistan. They're bringing mercenaries from different other countries that are apart. They brought in Hezbollah. And these are all people that are under the payroll of the IRGC. Hezbollah is completely funded by the IRGC, by the Islamic Republic of Iran. Hamas was totally funded by the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Houthis in Yemen, funded by the Islamic Republic of Iran. This serpent's head has got to be cut off, because this has got to be the crushing of Jesus's foot on the head of Satan, because it is that time. And these people have held them under captivity for way, way, way too long.
What is it that you, maybe this is a speculation question about what do you speculate the U.S. would do if push comes to shove and Trump has had enough? The armada's there. He's told them we're there. And he's saying, make a deal with us, no nuclear. But everyone and their brother knows without saying that he wants to crush that regime. He just has to have, he has to know that the population is begging him to come in and save the innocent civilians. That's right. So what is your speculation that the U.S. would do? It has to be something that's probably a little bit different than Venezuela, but they took the main bad actors and rescued them and I guess put the rest of them under threat, and everyone probably split and went to their own separate countries. So what do you think that, how would, it's just speculation. What would Israel and U.S. do if they came in?
Well, I think immediately they would set up a temporary established, government to come in and to sweep through and to start dealing with things. There's enough people in Iran that are loving freedom, that are not loyal to the IRGC, that they despise the Islamic Republic. They don't want to have anything to do with it. But thank God, because one of the biggest ally to Iran, to the IRGC, let me restate, the biggest ally to the IRGC is Qatar. And so the concern, but Qatar is a small country, they're wealthy, but very, very small. So there's a concern about would they try to come in. The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia restricted airspace for anyone to fly over.
I heard that and I didn't understand it. Go ahead. Yeah, keep going.
The question that I have and that I'm thinking he's doing is I think he's actually restricting the IRGC from coming through their airspace. However, let me explain. Bordering Iran, there are two major military bases that are right there. I've been to both. There's one in Qatar and there's one in Bahrain. And the naval bases in Bahrain.
Are these U.S. bases?
U.S. bases. And so they're there. This is where the Abraham Lincoln was heading to. So they don't have to, they don't really have to, you know, come and attack over Saudi Arabia. I believe the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia is saying this so that they don't get drug into with all of the radical Muslims that are in Saudi Arabia, that they don't want to jump on board to participate, you know, in defending the IRGC.
Well, it sounds like to me, it sounds like what you just said paints for me a picture that Trump and Saudi Arabia got together and cooked up this plan. You deny us airspace, so that keeps you safe. I mean, that's just the kind of thing Trump would do to protect, because we're allied with Saudi Arabia right now. So it makes no sense for them to do that. So, interesting.
I think what they're doing is they're saying on paper, let's have it look like this. We're going to put a word out about this, but what we agree with is between us. And so that would make sense. But here's the thing with those military bases right there in Qatar and Bahrain, they don't even need that, because that's right across the Persian Gulf, right across the water is Iran. And so literally, I mean, I've been in Bahrain, at the tip of Bahrain, literally 100 miles across the water is Iran. And
well, isn't it true that while Trump was negotiating with Qatar or somewhere around the same time, Israel hits a thing in Qatar and blows away some of their bad guys in Qatar. Yeah. And Trump said, oh, I'm so sorry that this happened. We'll try to never let that happen again. Right? Isn't that a sideways message that says, and if you mess with us anymore, you might get hit again from Israel? I mean, is that the message? That's the message I would receive.
It feels like for sure firing a shot across the bow and saying, hey, watch out, you know?
Yeah.
Doing that, they've done that in several different situations. Some haven't been reported on the news. They did that with Yemen and a couple of, and I think in Oman as well, where they had a couple of things that were struck, and it was kind of like, don't get involved in this. And that just happened over the past several days. But those countries, they don't have the Yemen and, you know, Qatar, they don't have the military force. And with our base being right there in Qatar, you know, the IRGC, the Iranian Islamic Republic, has been feeding off of Qatari money, but at the same time they have, and I'm in Qatar a lot, you know, because I fly in and out of there all the time.
Oh, you do? Okay, good.
I'm in Qatar quite a bit, but in this, I've been to Iran. I think you know that, right?
I knew it, but I didn't know that how recently and all of that. So
I want to get to this. It hasn't been recent. And it hasn't been because of the since when Ahmadinejad was the president. Probably people don't remember when that was, but when Ahmadinejad was the president, that was one of the easier times in the you know, just. In 2006 to 2010, you know, was the easier time. And so I was able to get in twice and then and be able to build some relationships and establish some contacts. You know, I've had all of my books. I have 3 books I've written that have been translated into Farsi, really? And Arabic. Yeah. And into Dari. They're all over Iran. They've been in Iran. Really? I've been working in Iran for over 20 years.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to have you watch a video here in a second. But before I do that, I wanted to point out the irony that a lot of people don't realize this, and Cameron was and Susie were pointing out that all of these years a significant portion of Iranians had to at gunpoint, knife point, whatever, stand in the crowds and shout death to America, death to Israel, the great Satan, and then the great Satan, and then the one is Satan and the great Satan or something like that. But the truth was that they were doing that because they were required to do that. And now the same people who were literally the majority of people, and I don't know if you have this understanding, were shouting death to America and death to Israel, the great Satans, are the same people by and large that are saying, please come and attack us.
Yes.
I mean, is that right?
Every child in school was made to shout every time, and they were beaten if they didn't. Death to America, death to Israel, the great Satan. Now, they had originally attributed us back in that time period in 78 to 1980 as we were the dead great Satan, but then they've clumped Israel in. There's also in Tehran, there's 2 flags that are painted on a square, a massive square, a city square, And people are soldiers are there saying spit and stomp and throw trash on the flag as you walk by the flag of Israel and the U.S. Flag. And there's now been for decades people staying there and telling people, no, don't spit on the flag. Don't touch that. Don't.
Really? For decades now?
Yeah. Iran, let me tell you something. The Iranians, they love Israel. They love Israel. The IRGC, the Islamic Republic, doesn't. And that's the reason why a lot of people have to realize in this part of the world, you know, Iran wasn't always a Muslim country. And so it's just like with Lebanon. Lebanon over 100 years ago was a 100% Christian country. Syria yeah. was 100%. I mean, church history, we know that, right? It yeah. was a 100% Christian country. Egypt was a Christian country with the Coptic church in Egypt. And so all of this has what happened is what we are facing right now and what Western Europe is facing with inviting and being welcoming, trying to follow scripture and being kind to the alien, being kind, but inviting in and inviting them into the political arena, into the influential arena, into being teachers and all this. And what you are doing is you are inviting jihad into the entire nation. They have waged global jihad. They are here. They have come after us. They're in our government. You know, they're in the House of Congress. They are lurking. They're now the president, excuse me, the mayor of New York. I mean, the infiltration is here. And even here in Texas, Steve, we were having to, our governor was having to ban Sharia law, you know, in the state of Texas.
Yeah, I heard that.
Weighing that now throughout the entire, because once they go under Sharia law, that means to lie to it. That means that you can rape an infidel girl and there's no sin penalty. Who are the infidels? Christians.
Yeah.
And so it's a horrible state. We are in, it's not just Iran. We are at war.
That is the truth. Man, we could talk about that for a while, but real quick, why do they, under what sort of, whatever you describe it, why do they love Israel? On what basis do they love Israel when the rest of their, how does that even happen?
Historically, they always have.
Okay.
This is only a recent thing. This is only since the Islamic Republic took over and has taken the nation captive.
Really?
The Shah pledged to be a protector of Israel. You know, back wow. in the 70s and the 60s, he had pledged, they recognize Israel. The IRGC does not recognize Israel, you know, as a state or even as its own nation. But, you know, they are, Iran did. Iran was one of the earlier ones to acknowledge them as a
nation. Well, and to remind people that may have missed our times with Cameron, it was in Iran, which was Persia, which is where the story of Esther took place. And the Jews were released to protect themselves. That was Iran, right?
Esther's tomb is in Shiraz, Iran.
That's crazy.
Mordecai's tomb is in Shiraz, Iran. And they protect it. Habakkuk is buried in Shiraz, Iran. I mean, there is rich Christian heritage. You can go there, still see churches. They're just seen as museums. And of course, they speak terribly of them and all this stuff, but it's a part of tourism money for them, so they don't get rid of them. But yeah. all of that, Esther was the queen of Xerxes, the king of Persia. And so, I mean, and so they hold her in high esteem.
Wow, that's just amazing. Well, listen, yeah. we have a video. Set this up, because I haven't gotten to see the video before we went on. Tell what we're, you know, roughly encapsulate what we're about to see, and then we'll see it. It's about a 5 or 6 minute.
I'm not sure which one you're about to show.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let me just, let me look at the name of it here. There's the edit. There's a 1 minute one, and then there's a 5 minute one. Ministering in Afghanistan to a man with a shorter leg. Okay. This is talking about your ministry, and then we had a yeah. 1 minute one, which do you know? You probably don't know what they put together.
No, I know those. If this is the one of the praying for the man's leg to grow out, I can yeah. set that up easily.
Yeah, set that up. Go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, we were in Afghanistan, and this is how we train the underground church. I teach on signs and wonders. Let me tell you, Steve, the only way you're going to win Muslims to Christ is with signs and wonders. There is no other way. You're not going to win them with apologetics. It won't happen. You've got to have healing. You've got to have the prophetic. You've got to have words of knowledge. You've got to be able to cast out demons. It is the only way that you will win a Muslim to Christ. And so what happens is that we train them. I spend several days training them, and then we take them out to the street every day. I go with them. You're going to see that. And I put it into practice. And so this is a setup where I am training and teaching somebody, you know, how to pray for a leg to grow out, and it grows out. The camera doesn't catch it just right where you see that.
It's hard to catch that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to either blink as you believe.
They were right on top of it, but, you know, we have the Taliban all around us, which you see in this, the Afghan military shows up, and a Christian man had just been killed the day before at this very spot.
Oh, now, Steve,
we were going there to get revenge. Because the kingdom of God is upside down. So when we do revenge, it's we go do healing. We go share the gospel.
This is what vengeance is mine, I will repay looks like. So let's all right, let's go ahead and run that. Here we go.
Oh, Holy Spirit, just go before us. Direct us. Father, we just thank you that Jesus is going to be so famous in Afghanistan.
I had saw a guy walking down the street and it was limping, and I knew he had a leg shorter than the other.
Yeah, that.
We are surrounded by three different major Muslim terrorist groups that are controlling the city. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Taliban. All three are colliding and fighting over this one city, you know, in the heart of Afghanistan. When you start communicating Jesus as being higher than Muhammad is when there's danger. And when miracles are happening in the name of Jesus today, they don't happen in the name of Muhammad today.
This one is shorter. Yeah. Oh, man, look at that. That is significant. Okay. In Jesus' name, I command his hips to line up. Grow right now in Jesus' name. I declare peace in these hips. In Jesus' name.
And so I'm holding the guy's legs and we're praying and, you know, commanding this leg to grow out in Jesus' name.
Right. Leg grow, Jesus.
All of a sudden, we see the police approaching in the distance.
Jesus' name. Perfect alignment. Perfect alignment. Right now.
This is here.
Okay. Okay. Hydrogen hammer. All right.
I sat there and I thought, man, there's no place to run. If this turns quick, we're completely uncovered. All they have to explain any authority. Oh, those were Christians and they prayed for that guy. Or they were talking to him about Jesus. That's all they need.
He's asking why you feel. Why you feel. He wants to see.
When I saw them standing there and they grabbed the camera and they grabbed the phone, I was like, oh no, all the evidence is on there. They have it all. All they have to do is look past a couple of little scenes and boom, that's it, we're dead.
Lord, make blind, seeing eyes blind. Of them? No. Yeah.
They pray for the
It was the hardest thing getting in that car and taking off. But yet the Lord spoke to me as soon as we started to pull away. He said, the seed is planted. Well, you clearly demonstrated the gospel. The seed was planted. It's not done. There's more to come.
The enemy wants to keep us in fear. If we react in fear and just hide, that's what he wants. But we react to that by going out and healing the sick, telling them about Jesus. We make the enemy pay for that. And that's how we tell them, you stay out of our city.
Help Elijah Streams continue to reach people around the world. All donations go toward making Elijah Streams and the Elijah Streams podcast possible. Visit ElijahStreams.com/give and become a partner today.
Amazing. Now, I was just trying to ask what that 1 minute video was about. So I looked down for a second. What did they say to let you all go? Was that translated into English or did they just decide you're okay?
What they did is they were looking at the footage and I was praying the prayer of Brother Andrew. Lord, make seeing eyes blind. And Jesus,
right, I saw that.
It works. I've been caught in entering into Saudi Arabia, smuggling Bibles in Saudi Arabia, which is immediate death penalty. They kill you on sight. And they open up and see all these Bibles in Arabic and they look and they see them and they're like, oh, why are you bringing Qurans into the country? And I'm like, you're seeing this as the Quran? It says Holy Bible in Arabic, but it's just like they're blind to it. It works.
Well, I hope everyone, including myself, will never forget what you just said and told that, because I know someone, one of our prophets said, he prays, Lord, cloak me in invisibility, or words to that effect. He says, every time we go anywhere, every time we gather to pray, I say, cloak me and make us invisible. And I've done that a few times, but you know, nothing ever bad happened while I did that either. So, you know, it's easy if you don't see some drama before you pray that to say, well, it's probably nothing that's going to happen anyway. I mean, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
I mean, he opened fire on us right then, right away. And let me just say this, that guy that was holding the legs, when I'm saying, I'm giving him the words to pray. That's not me praying for the leg to grow. That's me giving him the words to train him and equip him to see the leg grow out. After praying that and seeing that guy's leg grow out, he was like, I mean, after that scene, people, and they saw that they let us go. They were like, this is a miracle. They don't do this. This is, you know, and so the fact that, and they were looking through the footage, you know, this is in one of their films. They were looking through the footage and they said, there's nothing on here. We had a whole week of footage. We were leading people to Christ. This is, you know, this is the
wow.
Kill you for the fastest. And so there was so much that was in that footage, and yet they did not see a thing. And they said, okay, let them go. So it's I've had it happen so many times, and learned from the underground church in China, where they'll pray, Lord, cloak me in a wall of fire. And they'll pray on them a wall of fire.
You know, maybe I'm going to state something that's obvious, or maybe not as obvious, but there's this time, one time where Jesus said, you have not because you ask not, that he may have well have not covered that if you hadn't asked him to cover that up, to make it invisible. We don't know, but I tend to think we have not because he asked it. He wants to partner. He wants you to tell. It's like where he says to the person, what do you want me to do for you? He's saying to you, what do you want me to do for them? Cover this up, Lord. You know, like, oh, okay, I can do that.
You know what's interesting, Steve, is that General Flynn, I was on a program with General Flynn. Everybody probably knows General
Flynn. Yeah, he's probably in this group.
And in Trump's first administration, General Flynn, he was watching some footage of us training some people in the underground church in Syria. And he saw this footage, and we had everybody's faces blurred and everything. And he saw the footage and he goes, I'm going to tell you right now, our endless wars is what he said, is not going to change nations. He said, what Robbie's doing with these ACTS schools, which we call Arab Kingdom Training Schools, ACTS, A-K-T-S. And he said, this is what will change nations. And it's true. Well, of course, we know the gospel is the hope, you know, of nations, and Christ is the hope of nations.
Well, right. I mean, not only that, but how would you ever know if, I have no idea what the socioeconomic status of the person you were praying for was, but what would it be if we found out later that he was the son of a high prominent person in the city who he goes home and tells dad what just happened on the street, and someone says, and the dad turns out to be super involved with whatever they call the head of the of whatever the government there, and he's also been associated with an Esther-like person, and he's now being hit from both sides that God is king. And how do you know that wasn't a connection right there that changes the country? You
know, it's so likely, and it can happen. And even some of the most unlikely people, you know, that we think and judge and think, you know, that's nobody. That's even some homeless person or something. You'll be really, really shocked. And Zahir, the guy that was praying for the legs, he went back to his city in Kandahar, which was where the Taliban headquarters was. And he put in his, because of the boldness he was seeing of the gospel, he put a open Bible with John 3:16 highlighted in his car, in his Persian rug window display of the shop that he owns, selling Persian rugs, with John 3:16 highlighted, prayed for one person that was one of the poorest people in Kandahar. They were healed and they went out on the streets, and people could see because they had deformed legs and their legs straightened up, and they went out on the streets and people were like, how do you do this? And he started saying, go to Zahir's shop. And they said, Zahir has medicine our hospitals do not have.
Wow.
And Zahir, exactly 1 month later, Steve, had a 2-block line for 2 blocks in Afghanistan. People that were lined up, and he would pray for them, they'd get healed, and he would be like, because I taught them this, he would be like, the Jesus just healed you. He just invited you to a relationship by healing you. What do you want to say to that Jesus? Because they see Jesus as just a prophet. So we say the Jesus that healed you to spark them asking questions. Tell me more about this Jesus, because he just healed me. Tell me more, Jesus.
Do you know, you've been doing this so long, it would be easier for you to forget that most Christians don't even know that they received Jesus as a prophet. They say, the Jewish people who are Orthodox, for lack of a better terminology, they don't see Jesus as anything, but Muslims see him as a prophet. So what's that?
A respected prophet. So they honor him, you know?
Yeah, a lot of Christians don't know that, so they'd say, you know, I've never led a Muslim to Christ, but you could probably say your prophet is our prophet too, or something. But he's the supreme prophet, or something like that. But wow, good stuff. And so you said, and we better get going here, but you said that you will never lead the Muslims. I assume that means almost no one to the Lord by just apologetics. Here it says in the scripture that Jesus did this. Oh, okay, so they're bored with that because they already believe in Jesus. They already believe he was a good man. He's done nothing for them as far as they're concerned. Mm-hmm. Until you say, do you want Jesus to do something for you today? That'd be a different approach, wouldn't it? Let me pray for you. You know,
we say, let me demonstrate to you that he's more than a prophet, because a dead prophet can't perform miracles. And we're going to pray in his name with his power. You're going to see it happen, and then you're going to know Jesus is God. And so it's going to be undeniable for you to know that Jesus is God. And we do this throughout the Middle East. All over the Middle East, we do these schools, training. We did last year in Pakistan alone, 6 of them. And this is where we're training the Pakistanis, sending them out to the street. We don't do the big meetings where we do, praise God for those, but we don't do those because we want to train and equip the indigenous leaders to be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ and to get them out there doing it.
It's not like you don't want to be in all these cultures, you don't be the white man going in to lead a few people to the Lord, get on the next plane. You want to train masses
It's a bad model and it doesn't work. The crusade model, I'll just say this now that we said, the crusade model doesn't work. It's a bad model. Jesus was, every message Jesus preached, he was pouring into 12 men, the 72 and the 120. He was pouring into those people to equip them. They were hearing those messages, seeing those demonstrations so that he could say, these things shall you do in greater. Now go into all the world. And so with that in mind, we've got to have people that really stop and see this. And Steve, all of these guys that come to, we don't require this, but they're all young. Like the Iranian underground church is young. So really? Many Christians have been killed.
And young, so by about, when you say young, about what kind of ages are you talking about?
Between 15 to 30. Like they're young. And wow. you would be shocked. And so, you know, so many of them, and they're bold, you know, they're, and of course right now, because, you know, there's been likely 40,000 plus of them murdered and this genocide that is taking place where they're just mowing them down. You know, they were doing it in Nigeria and now they're turning and doing it in Iran. Not just with Nigeria, they were specifically focused on the Christians. But as soon as they find out somebody is a Christian in Iran, they're going after them now to kill them. They're not even arresting them. And so they're even sweeping through the hospitals looking for injured people that were a part of these demonstrations in the streets so that they can finish them off in the hospitals. Oh, they're just slaughtering them. This is happening every day. And they have privately hung people that they swore to the president, to President Trump, they would not hang. There are people that were getting messages that, nope, these people are being hung. They're being hung in private. They make the family pay what's the equivalent of $1,000. You have to realize the Iranian currency has completely collapsed. They've completely collapsed. And so they're making them pay what's the equivalent of $1,000 for the bullet that it costs to kill their loved one. And then, Steve, they're making them sign a document that says that their son or daughter or even child was an agent of either Mossad or an agent of the United States of America, so that they can present that paper to when President Trump is saying, well, there's killings going on both sides. That's not true numbers. And of course, now I think he's beginning to, you know, thank God Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham has been trumpeting this really hard too.
Well, that's really good because he hasn't been on my happy list for a lot of years, but you're saying in this situation, he's being a good guy here, right?
Speaking, I'm with you on that list. He's speaking up though for the Iranian people because he sees it for what it is and he knows it for what it is. And of course, he remembers very well during the Carter administration, how bad that got messed up.
What do you suppose gives him such clarity here on a pivotal issue where he's been waffling all over the board for years? Where's that clarity coming from? I mean,
you just, know, maybe it's just a Balaam's donkey situation.
Yeah.
Through. I'm serious. You know, the Lord is people are speaking up that normally don't. And look at this. Look at how the left are staying quiet. Everybody that's been in the streets hollering free Palestine. And they're not crying out for the Iranians that are being slaughtered. More people being killed in Iran right now than were killed in Gaza. And they're screaming out, you know, still screaming out free Palestine when they've been released from this. But there's nobody speaking up for the Iranians. Where is the Hollywood elites, the music industry elites? None of them are speaking out. Where's Bono speaking up?
Yeah, they're purported to be for the underdog. And yeah, where are they? Because they hate Trump. They would rather more people die. Anyway, well, listen, I'm going to ask you two questions. And I'm going to have you pray for the people as we go out. But did you bring anything? I didn't ask you. Did you bring any graphic on any books you have for sale or anything like that?
I don't believe we provided those.
Angie, I see books there. You're saying, you know, what is there? Put a graphic on if you have one, Angie. I can't. There you go. Okay, tell about this. Go ahead.
Do What Jesus Did is the, now we are getting these books throughout Iran, Afghanistan, throughout the Muslim world. And Do What Jesus Did is a book that I wrote explaining to people how to model and follow the ministry of Jesus, that every believer should know how to heal the sick. Every believer should know how to cast out a demon. Every believer should know how to give a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, ask the Holy Spirit for insight. Every believer should know how to speak in tongues. And this book goes through explaining all that, filled with stories. where I learned to work with radical Muslims in this part of the world. I started working in the streets of Chicago with gang members. Mm-hmm. And so this is filled with those types of stories and things where God has opened up. But Do What Jesus Did is basically the premise of the book is Jesus didn't come to show us what he could do as the Son of God. He came to show us what we could do.
That's amazing. Now, she's saying in her notes, she's got a few more. Just give me at least two more books. Can you give a quick synopsis? Of how about this one?
Do Greater Things is a book focusing on that passage of scripture where Jesus said, these things shall you do and greater. And to know what does that mean? I believe that's giving us permission to explore the height, the depth, the width, to be able to say, make me invisible. All of that, to get into that understanding, I have two stories in here where I prayed for people that were raised from the dead, documented resurrections, or one of them was a documented resurrection. Other was eyewitnesses that saw it. But these are stories of how to step into that and not settle just for, you know, just basic stuff, but really press into the extravagance of God's supernatural power to bring people to Christ.
So good. Do you have one more? There's one. Okay, tell this one, then we'll get going.
Identity Thief is explaining, understanding how that Satan has hijacked all of our identities. Don't trust what you feel. Satan will lie to you. The fiery darts of the enemy will not just come through thoughts, but they'll come through feelings. When you see that footage of me in Afghanistan, you can see I'm scared. And, you know, Bill Johnson has always said, Robbie's the most bravest. He's the most courageous man, fearless man I know. And I'm like, don't say I'm fearless because people can see that footage and see I'm in fear. But what I've learned is that we ignore the fear because fear is a liar and we ignore the other things. This also speaks to homosexuality. When people say, well, I've had these feelings, these attractions since I was a child. Well, not all your feelings are you. And that's a fiery dart from Satan himself because you are not. You are not attracted to the same sex, but you're agreeing with the enemy by believing that lie. We get into all that on every topic, Steve, of how to break that identity thief, capturing our thoughts and capturing our feelings and taking them captive and making them.
Okay. And sorry, I didn't mean there, but Angie says she also has your t-shirt to show. So show that. Oh, that's a great one. Jesus is God. And what is that? Is that written in what, Arabic or what would you say?
That's Farsi on the front. That's what the Iranians speak. On the back, it's in Arabic.
Okay.
And it says the same on the back, but in Arabic. And it's our solidarity. This is our t-shirt to stand in solidarity with the underground persecuted church throughout the Middle East. But also ones that are persecuted in Israel.
And those who speak Farsi and those who speak Arabic, do both of those main language groups see Jesus as a prophet?
Yes, because Arabic is the main language of the Quran and Farsi is the main language of Iran, Tajikistan, some of the other stans, even including Afghanistan. And so those are, they see that, they write, even when I wear this t-shirt in Pakistan, they can understand that that's saying.
Yeah, so you're already agreeing with half of their belief that Jesus is the good guy. And the other half is that he's God. And that gives you a chance to prove that why you can prove why he, you know, he's God. Now sit down and let me pray for you. Your leg to grow, your whatever they have, so. Awesome. All right. Well, would you go ahead and pray for the people? Just bless them and anything you want to pray, Robbie.
That'd sure. Be great. Father, first and foremost, we pray for the underground church in Iran. We pray for boldness, pray for courage, pray for steadfastness, unyielding, unrelenting commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to seeing this evil, demonic prince of Persia uprooted and dethroned and cast down and halted in all of his power. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that this is something that even Daniel, while he was in Iraq, was petitioning and Jesus and Michael, the archangel, was defending and fighting against even then. And so, Lord, we just declare that being broken. I pray for everyone that is watching to be encouraged to pray for Iran to see this evil regime overthrown. But Father, I pray that all of us would take courage and begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with Muslims, to begin to share with them that Jesus is more than a prophet, but that he is God, to see many Muslims come to Jesus Christ, and that tenacity to wreak havoc and to cause trouble would turn them into the most powerful evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, let all of us take courage, be bold in that, share that, and to demonstrate that. And we just rebuke any spirit of fear that would come against any of the people watching, that they would understand that we are more than conquerors through Christ, and we do not have to yield to the spirit of fear, because God has given us power and love and a sound mind. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. So good, man. Really, really good stuff today. I mean, you've educated a lot of people and lit a bunch more on fire and given them some evangelism tips too. That's all great. So thank you so much, Robbie. Monday, Johnny Endel will be back with another episode of Johnny Endel Unfiltered. Always really good. And as you all know, current stuff for the body of Christ, prophetic and all that. So have a great weekend. Robbie, you too. We appreciate you coming on, and we will see you all later. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
This has been Elijah Streams. Thanks for listening. For more episodes like this, you can listen to the Elijah Streams podcast at ElijahStreams.com, on Apple, and Spotify. Join us live every weekday at 11 a.m. Pacific time at ElijahStreams.com, Rumble, and Facebook. Elijah Streams is part of Elijah List Ministries. Go to ElijahStreams.com/give to become a partner today.